Open our Bibles tonight. We're going to go into 1 Timothy. And, let's just go ahead and we'll begin reading here tonight. Let's get into the Word and let the Word speak. That's the best thing. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Paul speaking to Timothy here. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. Isn't that wonderful, those prophecies that went upon him? That thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith. And I love that. That word holding in the Greek is where we get the meaning to have and to hold, like we say in a marriage ceremony. To have and to hold in that marriage ceremony. In matrimony, faith. Isn't that wonderful? This isn't ironic that these words are like they are. They're specific and they're all powerful, but I love that. See, and by the grace of God, here it is, that you fight a good warfare. And how do we do that? First and foremost, by having to hold faith, the Word of God, that it is the most beautiful, intimate, rarest treasure of our lives, the Word of God. It is. That's the marriage. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And a good conscience. Praise the Lord. Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, we know that it'll give us some different ones that it's speaking of here, but I think that speaks to all levels of how faith would be received. Because faith is faith. And the only faith there is in the Son of God. Amen. And it is. You know, there's believing, there's all of these different things, but it's like when they talk about different faiths, there's one faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. Know that. People can have religion, they can have beliefs, but faith is one place only, and that's in Christ. So, in this regard, I see this, that there's been a falling away from faith. There's been not just a falling away, but a falling away from to have and to hold that marriage fellowship of faith that God gives us, obviously, in Paul's gospel. And tonight, as we don't sometimes like to talk about these things, but yet we need to talk about what the Bible talks about. And the Bible talks about the great loss of falling away. And we spoke about this morning the need, the beauty, the privilege to stay in first love. But tonight, the cost of leaving the first love. And tonight, we'll spend most of the time seeing this, I believe, very clearly in a type, shadow, and a metaphor in the life of Lot, in Abraham's nephew. And I think most here tonight would know that story, and we'll touch upon different things about it. But the grace that was poured out to Lot, what grace? To be upon that one that God had chosen, to be with the one that God had anointed with that wondrous promise and that blessing, to be in that testimony, going out with Abraham, the chosen of God, watching over and over, time after time, the mighty hand of God so miraculously bless Abraham and deliver Abraham. So the rain that poured upon Abraham also poured upon Lot. And in many ways in our lives, that's how we begin too. God draws us in, and we're amongst those that truly have gone on with God. Amen? Think about Timothy's own life, and he was drawn in and was given that example of Paul, and to have that encouragement of Paul upon his life. And all throughout the Word of God, how there were times that the Lord ministered, in a sense, in an individual way, but oftentimes the Lord used ones that were walking and yielding to God to minister to others that the Lord knew had a heart for him. And he would bring them in. It wasn't any accident that Jonathan, obviously, was at that time and place to hear all the words of David. Amen? See, God's precise. He knows the heart. He knows what we need. And the Lord, and in His Word, we grow by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And see, the Lord will bring us in, knowing our heart, to hear that counsel of God, and to have us precisely born at this time, and drawn from all of these walks of life. Everybody here, isn't that something? All of what the world would say were mishaps, and horrible things, and such dysfunctional, whatever it may be. We all have it in our families. We know that. But God. Amen. And when I hear that, it's like a lightning just hit me. It's like, but God. And it's beautiful, is it not? Appreciate Sam, Holly, all these different ones. The testimonies radiate the mighty grace of God. I will have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. We all have family members. We all were standing in that same hall hearing all the words. But who was it that the soul fell in love with? Praise God, it was you. Amen? So take it. Enjoy it. Thank God for it. Praise Him. And how wonderful to have the praise that we have tonight. I was thinking, Lord, let it just continue to roar. Not that we're looking for noise, but my goodness, you know, when they went into battle, the singers went in first. Amen. The ones that were full of praise, get them up here. That's who we need. What do you think breaking the pitchers and all those things were? It was the praise to God. It was those hearts that were broken that would sing that praise to Him. I love that. You think about the praise you ever, even though you know you're free indeed, but yet, you know, the enemy can get thinking that we're bound by things and whatever. Start singing in the night. God sends the earthquake, shakes it up, breaks open all those things. But it's the praise. It's the praise, and I thank God that it's not just a praise church, but it's a praise to Jesus. It's just, we're absolutely ecstatic with God's Son and thanking Him for Him. So, that wonderful grace that poured upon Abraham, poured upon Lot, the increase, the wealth, the abundance, the merciful hand of God. If you read that story of Lot and Abraham, it was almost virtually the same of the abundance that was given, in a sense, to Abraham and to Lot. When they stood there and they had so much wealth between them and they needed to divide because their employees were starting to fuss with one another, there was great abundance that was given. God's mercy followed them all the way through. Isn't that something? And it was like, as I read that, Lot was a joint heir to it all. Those riches, the blessing of God. And all he needed to do was to stay in fellowship of it. All he needed to do is just to treasure the same treasure that Abraham saw. The mighty grace of God. That Abraham believed and it was counted unto him righteousness. And that the only thing that Abraham's life was about was seeking that continuing city whose builder and maker is God. And God took care of all the rest, all the immense blessing, all of the promises of God. Yea and amen. Don't worry about my promises. I just want you to continue on focusing on me. I'll bring the promises. You just believe me. And I love that. I thank God for it. You know, we need to be reminded all the time about the promises. I get that. But I want to see Him. Amen. So, as we know in that story, Lot chose with his eyes. And he chose with his eyes, it says, the well-watered plain. Now, I want you to know something. There's nothing wrong with the well-watered plain. There isn't. What was wrong was the vision. The vision. Lot was seeking his own instinct instead of seeking God's perfect will. And that's a difficult fork in a road. Especially when we're capable. I believe Lot was capable. He learned some things. He was overseer over his, of people, that servants. much wealth increase that was given to him, that he had to be divided because his wealth was so great, he needed to portion just like Abraham did. But yet, what Lot did was he chose with his eyes. He chose with his natural ability. He thought for some reason that Abraham was asleep at the switch. You're giving me the first choice? And he didn't even ask him, are you sure? He said, bam, I want that. He lifted up and he looked with his eyes. And instead of looking up, he looked down. See, we need to be looking up. And he chose with his eyes. And we know that that wasn't God's will. God's will never be with our sight. God's eyes are with the vision of the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we can walk in such excitement in seeing our lives and believing in the Word of God. We believe in the Word of God of how it will be, don't we? Amen? We call those things which be not as though they were. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. That the Father be glorified in the Son. I'll tell you how the Father's glorified is by faith. By faith in His Son. And I pray that we are all out, completely out on believing God. I mean, just, Lord, it's your word and I believe it. So, what goes on then is we see that in choosing with his own instinct and his own eyes, he separates himself, Lot does, from walking in the light. When we separate ourselves from walking in the anointing and walking in the blessing, it costs us everything, and it does. The separation from the blessing, the separation from the anointing, was lethal to his life. I've seen it time and time again. All of us have. Turning from the truth for one reason or another. There's always an excuse because that's the enemy. Another name for him is excuse. With the Lord, we know we are without excuse, aren't we? So if we're looking for an excuse, we know that that's not of God. Amen? Amen it is. This is called firm love. But when you're trying to come up with excuses, you know who the author of an excuse is. Because we're without excuse. Let's know who we are. Praise God. I love to hear the Lord minister to us. It's wonderful. Now, we've seen this happen. But whatever reason it would be, whatever excuse, it's always the most detrimental decision of a life when you don't go on with God. If it was just your life alone and it was isolated, it'd be bad enough. But when you don't go on with God, it affects your family. It affects all of those around you. And I'm really speaking of here ones that are called into the full inheritance. Because in a sense, that spotlight of faith is on you. You've been a leader. When you go after God, there's a leading in your life. He's the leader, but in that being led by the grace of God, there's a leadership as you go after God. And God's faithful to His Word. Not that people are looking at you, but they, by the grace of God, those that will take note of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's huge. And you know it. And when we leave that, that decision is the most detrimental decision to our children and our entire family. But you see, I want you to know something about this story. That didn't take God by surprise. God knew what was in Lot's heart. And He did. And the separation was for Abraham. Yes, it was. If you go back and look at that story again, it was only then, after being separated from Lot, that Abraham saw the full inheritance of what God had given him. Isn't that something? Let that speak to us about that. The need for separation from the good, separation from the acceptable, that there's one thing about my life, and that's the perfect will of God. And it will bring you down. That good and acceptable, it's good and acceptable, but it isn't perfect. It's not complete. And it will impair you, if you fellowship in that, from the whole counsel, from the full inheritance of what the Lord has. That's why of like precious faith. That's why that assembling of ourselves together, the much, the more, as we see that day. And that's important. Where do you see yourself in that day? Isn't that something? By the grace of God, I see myself at the beginning of that day. Amen? With Him in glory. Amen? Not the beginning of that day walking through this earth going, what happened? Let me tell you something. Ones are going to know. Ones are going to know. Our loved ones. There's going to be loved ones of ours that are going to know. And that's the hurtful thing. Do you want to know now? Yeah. Amen. Let's have and continue in prayer. But the cost to Lot, the loss of living all the blessings of God, I don't want to lose that fellowship. They're sitting there for us, but I don't want to leave that fellowship, you know? There's something indescribable about the fellowship that you have in the perfect will of God. Isn't it wonderful? In the throne room. In the midst of the throne room. It is what it is. But you believe it, and praise God that we believe what He's told us. But you think about the loss to Lot, the blessings, the land, the herds, all of those things. But most of all, the loss of the fellowship with Abraham. I pray I'd never lose your fellowship. I pray I'd never walk away from your fellowship. I know we pray for our children, we pray for our loved ones and those things, absolutely, because you want them to come into this fellowship. Jonathan had a big family. He had a dad, brothers, sisters, all of these different things. But there was only one that he would go out into the field with. And he wasn't going to give up that fellowship, was he?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That was his family. And it's so wonderful. And then you get beyond that. What we know is we're talking about rib portion tightly fit, compacted together. And beyond the family, we're a body by God's grace that will be presented to Him as His wife. We have fellowship. We have fellowship, don't we? I appreciated the sisters and the study they're having of the cherubim. You know, it's not just the cherubim that reach and touch their wings. Isn't that precious? Over the mercy seat. But then there's the other cherubim there that are touching the wall and reaching over here and touching another wing, and they go again across to all the walls of that Holy of Holies. And then so sweet to know that on the other side of that wall, my goodness, is the treasury, the exceeding riches. I say we got fellowship, amen? Yes, we do. So we praise God for this. But, you know, that cost again to Lot. He was trapped in a godless place. And he really wasn't trapped, but he trapped himself, didn't he? Because he chose with his eyes. He chose to depart from the things of God. He chose to depart from God's anointed. You don't want to choose that in our lives. And the anointing of what is in what we have with the Lord. And we saw that in choosing the godless place, you know what you're going to be surrounded with? Heathen. Lot, it was so magnified, he was surrounded by sexual perversion. He was so perverted even in his mind and so weak in his faith, he was willing to give up his daughters to be raped. But for the grace of God, there go I. And you, I'll tell you what, you may know, but I'm thankful to God I don't have to know, but the devil will use you and he will abuse you. And as you step away from God, he'll abuse the ones you love. There's a cost, and a great cost. And we need to be aware of these things. Not in fear, but in reality of to whom much is given. Oh, the requirement of surrendering, praise God, to his love. He's serious about it. See, it went on to think that his spouse had no vision of the things of God, that his children didn't even know the things of God. It's amazing what transpires when you go away from the things of God, how in just one generation, it's gone. It's gone. And it goes so quickly. See, steps away from the truth never lead back to more truth. You have to make steps towards truth for more truth. When you step out to compromise, eventually it gets so watered down that you wonder what kind of service you were just at. I've been to places like that recently. I thought we get together whenever we get together to truly hear a sermon about our Lord. Think about these things and know how he keeps us. But he's going to keep you in one thing, in his will, and his word is his will. There isn't anything else. You'll never be separated from his love, but you sure can depart from the will of God when you depart from the word of God. But his life ends up fleeing a city, the loss of all of his belongings, and watching it all burn, basically, with fire and brimstone. All the abundance, all the things that could have been his, just like Abraham. You think about Solomon. I could have, as much as he had, and he had increased way beyond his father David. But he knew he missed what his father David had. And Solomon was a sweet man to be able to truly, sincerely say before the Lord, oh, vanity of vanities, heartbroken. But that time he would never get back. I want people to go with us, amen. But they can't rob my time. We must go. And as much as a Rebecca maybe in her heart wanted to get something together, encourage her family, words of one way, shape, or form, that message was for her. She was the one that heard it. God knew that she would receive it. And it came to her. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's no respecter of person, but he sends it to the thing, hallelujah, that he's going to perform it in. It's immense and wonderful. But all that abundance, what could have been, but Lot turned from the truth and settled for the things of the world, and it was loss. It's truly like the palm wavers, the tear that needs to be wiped from an eye. The things that satisfied the eye, the things that satisfied the flesh. What does it profit a man though he gain the world and lose his own soul? deal with Christians that are being introduced and have been for years to this wonderful glory of His grace message. Oh, the glory of His grace. And yet they still want that flesh in service to be recognized or honored. Thank God for sweet Vesta, as she said. But this one thing she has, that sweet Mary, after all of that service had gone on, she's got the one thing. She chose the better part. Amen? All He wants is that worship, that believing. Amen? All them different ones that came through and said things about people all the way up. Well, you don't know who touches you. You don't know. Yeah, I know who touches me, the one who loves me. The one who's gotten over themselves. And understand in me, praise God, there's no sin. I'm just about love and I want a fellowship. That's who He's going to settle down with in marriage. But see, what does it gain a Christian to give up? What does it gain a Christian to get mad? What does it gain a Christian to get bitter? What does it gain a Christian to go the easier way and to lose a crown? And the cost to a family. Lot ended up with no wife, no son-in-laws, completely broke, living in fear in a cave. And if that wasn't bad enough, his life ended up, and this was the testimony of his generations, his life ended up with incest with two of his daughters. And each one gave birth to a son. One was Ammon, and the other one was Moab. The line of the Ammonites and the line of the Moabites, two of the greatest enemies to God's people. And yet he started out with the magnificence of the exceeding riches of the Old Testament time, right with the one who God would bring the promise through. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, this can be us. And I know different stories. And I remember a dear sister that I do believe the evidence and testimony of winning Christ as her bridegroom was very evident before she went to see the Lord. But I remember a testimony of her own life, which was she was insulted and mad at a minister of the Lord. And years went by that she sat in that bitterness. Years of that turmoil in her life. But yet when she returned, she was so thankful to be feeding with others that wanted to feed on the deep things of God. There was a thankfulness and a rejoicing. But I was so struck, and this is to my person, as I know she told others. She said, "The loss still hurts me to this day. The decision I made years back devastated my family in going on with the truth." She went on to say, virtually all of my kids know nothing or have no desire for Paul's gospel. Now, I can't imagine the horror of a Lot knowing that his wife was turned to salt, that his kids were completely destroyed. And I thank the Lord, and I want us to be encouraged. I can't imagine if I didn't do everything I could for my family and my loved ones not to miss Paul's gospel and the bridal truth.
Amen.
Amen. And it's not just talk. Matter of fact, it's not at all. By the grace of God, it's a life, it's a testimony, isn't it? Amen.
Amen.
And it's just being set. God will honor it. He'll honor you because He honors His word. Believe Him. Remember the words, it's so sweet. Brother Hill's talking about his kids, and they buck up against it. You know, it's not easy being a pastor's kid. It's not. And there's a lot of excuses. You hear it in the world all the time. Oh, it was just too intense. It was too much. It was too this. It was too that. Well, I have news for anybody, and especially any teacher or pastor in the things of God. Stay in it. Stay in it. God, He'll turn that tide. You have a promise over your children. You do have a promise. Now, I know that they'll return to it. But see, we're in a very deciding time, aren't we? It's a monumental moment that's upon us. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And I want your children, I want my children, to be ready for the appearing of the Lord.
Amen.
Not just to come back to it and say, wow, Dad was right. Where'd he go? And it wouldn't be like that. It would be in horror. That's the tear. So I'm thankful that we stand in love. Amen. And by God's grace, as the word of the Lord tells us, in type we're like fathers, if you will, mothers, parents. If truly we are mature as parents should be in loving kindness to their children. But you're always encouraging them on. Appreciated the encouragement of the Bible study this morning. And that same faith. That faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. That faith of the Father. Praise the Lord that has given to us. We have that. The same power in the name of His Son to call upon that word and believe His word. But by the grace of God, to continue to stir up that nest in love, not condescending. But when a house is on fire, it's on fire. And honeys, don't miss this. It's just too good. He circled us out. He chose us. You know that. The word of the Lord says, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. You have God's grace. You have God's mercy. You have God's compassion. That's His word. It means something. But does it mean something to you? Is it that personal, intimate to you? It is, isn't it? We believe Him. And praise God, brothers and sisters, that we don't have to. We do not have to have that horror of seeing that devastation. That we can continue by the grace of God. Choose ye this day. It's beautiful, isn't it? Amen. Just like this morning, in love every day. Start out with the kisses of His mouth. Amen. And God help us, yes, to wax valiant in fight as we close. Endure hardness as good soldiers. Well, you know what hardness is? That's evils, troubles, and affliction. Okay? That's what you've been called to. Evils, troubles, and affliction. They're coming. They're going to come. But by the grace of God, let's not be knocked out of the truth.
Amen.
Let's not. The word of the Lord came out to us today. He's given you true love. And He has, because that's the only love He has. It's true, isn't it? Amen? I'm loving that. True love. And since he's given me true love, I know that that's the love that stays in love. But every day, amen? That fire to be kindled and cherished, honored, treasured. It's rare. Thank him for that. As things come at us, and there'll be a lot of, but just, when you're in love, you can't feel a gunshot wound to your arm. I'm talking when you're really in love, you know. It's amazing. You're in love, there's people in love because they love so much they run through fires. They've had loved ones where cars were on them. And there's so much love flowing through them. Oh, they call it a lot of things, but I believe it's love. They picked up cars. There was so much love that the Lord parted a sea. But more importantly, there was so much love. Our Savior became man. And he took upon him everything. Everything. Every sorrow in your heart tonight, he took that upon him. Not just mine, but everybody's. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray.
Hold fast what you have, let no man take your crown. Draw nigh with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, with a true heart, with a broken heart. I am here. Come.
Oh, yes. Jesus, thank you again for your tender heart, Lord, that just is here, we enter into it. Thank you, God, for the privilege we have to receive your love and to love you and to love one another with your love. Help us to grow more and more in that love. Love for one another. And Lord, that we just embrace this truth. And Lord, that it be the strength and power of every breath. If you tarry tomorrow as we go forward in the things that we'll face or thinking we're going to face. Lord, you're set before us and behind us. Your hand is upon us. We're highly favored. We're the elect of God. The apple of your eye. And oh, how you are for us. We thank you and believe it. In Jesus' name, amen.